Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I didn't hear my jingle start, so let's see what happened with that. Are you still there, Amber?
Yes.
Okay. That's the fun part about all of this. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. So I will go ahead and play the jingle.
Color, color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose love.
Color your life happy.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, September 13th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. And in a moment, we're going to begin today's episode, Purpose, Passion, and Paycheck. What do they have in common? With my guest, business coach Amber Slaughter. Today's episode is made possible by the Ideal Client Action Guide, the business tool that helps you discover exactly the right client who needs, wants, and is desperately looking for your service or your product. You can learn more about this at www.idealclientactionguide.com. I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so proud that you made space in your schedule to join us today. I know you have many other things you can do with your time, so thank you for joining us. I encourage you to participate. You can do that by calling in or just being there on the website or going into the chat room. If you're on the phone lines and you would like to speak to the guest or ask a question, you may do so by just pressing #1. If you're over in the chat room, you just need to type in your question or your comment, and I'll be able to see it. Then I can read it on the air. Let me remind you, the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens, and when that happens, you just call in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it. And you can do that by going on Twitter, Facebook. And, of course, while you're there on my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, let other people know what you think about the show by adding yourself as a friend. Now, again, I'm Flora Brown, author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you can sign up for life coaching if you are ready to make that U-turn in your life. But I'm also booking personal appearances now for 2011. So if you would like to have me appear in person to motivate, train, or inspire your group, your staff, or your event, submit a request over on my website. There's a Book Flora tab at the top of the page. Or you can go ahead and email me directly at flora@florabrown.com. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about different ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. And each week, to get at that goal, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships. We talk about change in adversity, parenting, creating wealth, you name it, all those things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Today, my guest is Amber Slaughter. She's a business coach and leadership development trainer. Hi, Amber.
Hey, Flora. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's good to be back.
I'm coming on again, I should say, because you were on our show once before. And it was such a popular show. I got some good comments about it from actually some people who took a job workshop. And the facilitator of that workshop used your episode to share with her group. And they let me know how meaningful that was to them when you talked about the power of language. So I just wanted to let you know that, and I'm glad you're back to talk about something equally as important, and that is purpose, passion, and paycheck. Before we begin, though, I'd like to tell the listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
That's absolutely okay.
Okay. Amber Slaughter has been an accomplished project manager in the information technology industry for the last 10 years. In 2008, she began to pursue her passion for helping people get to their next level personally and professionally. Amber is now living her purpose for life through helping other people through her life and business coaching. Her mission is to be a conduit for others to reach their full potential and get to their next level. As a coach, she works with people from all walks of life seeking growth and living a more purposeful life. In addition to being a coach, Amber is also a leadership development trainer for Discover Leadership Training. She is currently completing her master's certificate in executive and business coaching from the University of Texas at Dallas. She holds a master's degree in business administration from Belhaven College and an undergraduate degree from Jackson State University. Amber has her ACC certification from the International Coach Federation. It is my pleasure to welcome back Amber Slaughter. Yay!
Thanks, Flora. That was a little mouthful right there, wasn't it?
That was a little mouthful, but that's okay. I can handle that mouthful. And you well deserve to let people know what you offer so they can put all this in perspective, because you know about what you're talking about, because you're living it and you are coaching other people in it, and that's very
absolutely
important.
I believe if you can't live it and walk the talk, then you can't help anybody else get to their next level. So I'm a living example.
Well, that's the first step, actually, is when we've had issues, if we've been able to figure out solutions and resolve them, then we're better able to help other people who are struggling with some of the same things.
Absolutely. What I found in my coaching practice is the same things that I struggled with are the same things that some of my clients are working through, and I can't give them any tips and tools to overcome it or to work through those things if I haven't myself figured out a way to do that
right.
in my own life.
Right, right. Well, I'm very delighted that you're here to share with us. And this topic is very hot because we have all heard this saying that do what you love and the money will follow. But there are many people who think that this is a flawed concept because passion alone, they say, won't lead to financial success. So how do you put these things together, purpose, passion, and paycheck?
Well, interestingly enough, they do all go together. Even in your current job situation, even if you're looking to pursue your passion that's outside of what you're doing, you can always find passion in what you're doing. And if passion and purpose don't show up for you, even in your everyday lives, then it's time to align those three things so that you're excited about going to work every day and you are on purpose and intentional in your life and in the choices that you make and in the work that you decide to take on. So the three really do go hand in hand, because without it, you're just one of those folks that you know that are just standing around at lunchtime. You ask them how they're doing. Oh, I'm here. And, you know, at 4:59, they're looking at the clock, chairs are swinging, and everybody's ready to go at 5 o'clock. Those are people that lack purpose and passion. When you have those two things, purpose and passion, in the work that you do or in any entrepreneurial type efforts that you're looking to pursue, it does really feel like you're having fun and you do things as if you care about the things that you're doing it, and you are just so intentional and on purpose with those things that the quality of your work shines through in everything that you do.
Now, speaking of on the job, because one of the things that I keep hearing when I hear speakers talk about purpose and passion, they seem to be directing people toward having their own businesses, being entrepreneurs. Is it possible to have purpose and passion when you're working for someone else on a job? Because some people seem to make it sound as if you'll never be content and happy unless you have your own business. What about jobs?
Absolutely. It isn't everybody's calling to be an entrepreneur and to be able to find passion and purpose in the things that they're doing at their work that gives them that paycheck is the real, I mean, that's the real nuts and bolts of it all. And in order to do that, you have to align all of those things together, passion, purpose, and paycheck. First, you have to determine what do you want from a job over and above a paycheck. So it's got to be more than the benefits package, the money, the bonuses. It's got to be more than a financial consideration. What are those things that you really want from your job? Do you want challenging projects, interesting projects, stimulating colleagues, flexible time, independence, and autonomy? So it helps for individuals to really clarify what their values are, their work values, including their life values, in order to help them properly evaluate jobs and determine whether or not that's going to be a satisfying job for them or a draining job for them.
That you made me think about the fact that so often when people go to job interviews, they approach it with an attitude of hoping that the interview committee will like them or hoping they'll say just the right thing. And I can remember when I was interviewing for the last job I ever had, that I approached it with the idea that I was interviewing them, that I was searching to see if this was going to be a good fit for me, just as you mentioned, in terms of my values and my passion, the kinds of things I would be doing, would I enjoy those, rather than, you know, please hire me because I need a paycheck type thing.
Absolutely. That is a great way to look at a job interview. It's a two-way interview. They're interviewing you to make sure that you're the right fit for the job, and you should be interviewing them because you want to make sure that that organization is a good fit for you culturally and is going to help you get the things that you want and need from a career and personal development perspective. Is this manager the type of manager that I want to work for? You really have to be clear about the things that you want. And unfortunately, many of us don't really spend the time to sit down and reflect and question things to be able to say, what are the things that are really important to me in a job? So let's take the monetary consideration out of the picture. So aside from the money, because if you're good at what you do, the money's going to come. And if you can show your value and your worth, that's going to come with it. At least that's what I submit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So really take some time to sit down and think about what are the types of things that I want in an organization. Do I want a company that believes in leadership growth and helping me be the best that I can be, regardless of whether or not it's in that department, that company, whatever that looks like? Is the organization and the culture driven around making the people that are there the best that they can be? But in order to be able to ask those questions in an interview, you have to be clear on what is going to make me happy and get me enthused about going to work every day.
Okay. So do you advise people to actually, let's say before they go to a job interview, to go to the company site if it's possible, you know, if it's not a secure site, and walk around and get a feel for it and maybe even have some questions in their minds before, for the interviewers? You know, many times at the end of an interview, they'll ask you, do you have any questions for us?
Absolutely.
And I bet a lot of people don't. So is this something you would advocate that people do?
In my time as a manager in the companies that I worked for prior to starting my own business, when I was the person doing the interviewing, that person wouldn't get a second look from me if they didn't have a question about anything, the environment, me, or anything else. You really have to be prepared. And one of the tips that I have to aligning those three P's is that reflection and questioning that I talked about. So ask yourself some types of questions of, you know, what meaning does work have in your life? How do you want the two to coexist? You know, what roles are you confident in doing? What's worked well for you in the past? How do fun and humor and play drive the organization that you're going to go to? And more importantly, is do you have a vision or a mission that guides your work life? And if you have those things, you really know the direction that you're going, and you get to decide easily, yes or no. Is this company and this person that I'm going to be working for going to help me get to executing this mission or help facilitate that mission in some way in that organization? One of the other things that's really, really important is that roadmap. If you don't know where you're going, how are you ever going to get there? And then when you do get there, how do you know when you've arrived if you don't have a roadmap that tells you, yep, I've arrived, this is it?
Now, you need a personal life roadmap. In other words, this job is just a stop along the way or a part of your travels. Is that what you mean by roadmap?
So actually, I mean two different things. So I strongly believe in having a vision for your life as a whole, but we all work. Be it entrepreneurial work, working for someone else, we all work in some way. So in order to find fulfilling and meaningful work that puts purpose and passion into that for you, you have to be able to describe, well, what does that look like? So when I'm on purpose and I'm passionate about something, what does that look like for me? What are the things that define that for me? And write that roadmap for you that says, you know, when I'm passionate and when I'm on purpose, these are the types of things that I'm doing. These are the values in the company that I'm looking for in getting to executing my personal roadmap. This is the type of manager that I'm looking for. This is the type of culture. You know, you can describe that vision for your work life and compare that, use that as a guide to say, you know, do they have all these things? And one people often say in an interview, well, how do I find those things out when it's just a one-hour interview? One of the techniques that I've always used in finding a job is that I ask to speak to somebody else that's in the department, be it a colleague, if it's a managerial position, somebody that's going to report to me. I want to talk to an objective person and really ask them some detailed questions about their job that are going to really help me see inside that organization, look at that individual. Is he or she energized? Are they excited about what they're talking about? Can they really sell you on the value of this company and a department just by, you know, their body language, how they react and respond to your questions? You can learn a lot and glean a lot from an individual that's not part of the interviewing process if you just ask, hey, I'd like to talk to somebody that's part of this group. And you can learn a lot from that individual.
Are you suggesting that the potential new employee do this prior to the interview, perhaps?
Absolutely. During the interview process is what I found to be the most beneficial. You know, once they're already sold on you as an individual and a value, you want to make sure that you're sold on them. So one way to do that is to talk to somebody that's doing the work today, that's in the department, that's been there, you know, for a period of time. They can really offer you that objective feedback. And even if they can't tell you directly, you can tell in their body language what they look like. How they respond to your questions will answer your questions if you just ask them and have the opportunity to ask those types of questions.
As you were saying that about their body language and so forth, I remember reading just the other day, one of the bloggers says that he goes to, I guess, coffee shops, restaurants, he goes to places, and he'll be sitting there with his BlackBerry, and I guess people will think he's absorbed in what he's doing. And he's actually eavesdropping on different conversations to pick up ideas for his articles because he wants to write about what concerns people. And those are the things they're talking about. So as you were talking, I was thinking you could go to the cafeteria of a workplace and pick up quite a bit of feeling about what the company is about from listening
Absolutely.
To people, not invading people's privacy, but so often people are talking about their jobs and how they feel about them during their lunch and breaks and coffee breaks. So I would imagine you can pick up quite a bit about that.
Absolutely you can. And it's okay. I think oftentimes individuals that are interviewing for jobs, they just don't ask. And it's about asking for the things that you want that are going to help you make the best decision for you. And this is really how all three of those things come together.
Mm-hmm.
All too often, we take a job that is based on money and may not be the most important consideration. I've seen people who make upwards of $200,000 who hate their jobs. But I know people who only make $30,000 and $40,000 who love their job. So what's the difference between the two? they've found something that they're passionate about, and it aligns with their professional and personal life, their personal interests, and their values. And can you really put a price on being able to do something that you love versus the trade-off of doing it just for money and finding yourself a year, 2 years from now, asking yourself, why am I doing this job?
Yeah, that's unfortunate, too, because we spend so much time on our jobs. I mean, a big chunk of our lives is spent on our jobs, and a big chunk of the time we could be spending with our families and doing other things are spent even just commuting back and forth. And then even at home, time is spent getting prepared to go back to work. So our work is such an important part that it really is sad if we don't have purpose and passion connected with it. I want to talk about or have you differentiate between purpose and passion, because one of my guests a few months back was making a distinction, and I used to always think that your life purpose and your passion were the same thing or should be the same thing. But she made a distinction. How do you see purpose and passion?
So I see them hand in hand. You really can't have one without the other, in my mind. I see passion as those things that you're really happy about and the things that are really going to motivate you to do those things. So when people say they're passionate about something, you hear it in their voice, you see it in their being, everything about them exudes that there's a lot of emotion behind what this person is saying. They're very convicted about what it is that they're doing or saying or being. So the passion is, what are those values that are going to help you to exhibit passion for the things that you do? What do you really love to do? What can you get lost in doing? Those are things that are passionate for me, where you can find those things where you can just get lost in time and whatever in doing those things without any sense of what's going on around you. I define passion more as a state of being, as opposed to purpose is, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
Passion is a state of being, and when you figure out why I'm here, you get to go passionately, intently, and purposefully go do those things that will drive you.
Okay. So the purpose is, why am I here?
Yep.
On this earth, as well as why am I in this job, company, whatever.
Yep.
And the passion then is your state of being and carrying out your purpose, sounds like.
Exactly. It is the energy, emotional, your physical, mental, spiritual thing that drives and supports us to focus on those things that we say we're passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when you talk about your own company or entrepreneurship, people don't have so much trouble, I don't think, thinking about life purpose or your goal or your gift that you're there to bring. But
sure.
Even on your job, you have a gift to bring. You have a goal, a spiritual purpose for being there.
Absolutely.
Is that correct? Even on a job.
I strongly agree that we all have a calling. Spiritually, mentally, physically, job, life, whatever that is, we all have a calling. And it is possible that I'm called to be an entrepreneur, but it is also possible that somebody else is called to be a manager at a Fortune 500 company, but that's what they're called to do. The trick is to discover, what are my natural abilities and figure out how to employ those in the work that I enjoy. So sometimes we're very good at doing things, and we never choose to do those things because that's not in alignment with what our financial considerations are. Ability, I say, has very little to do with enjoyment. So you really want to focus on those natural abilities that you enjoy doing. You know, if you're a manager, if you like coaching people and leading people and developing people, you were called to be that manager because without you, those individuals under your tutelage don't get to where they want to be. So without you, they aren't living their full potential, and that's kind of how I see life. If I didn't take on what I was called to do, who else am I infecting by not acting on what I've been called to do?
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of that quote that I'm not sure where it started, but Wayne Dyer says it about, you mustn't die with your song inside of you.
And absolutely.
That, is, that we each have a calling and a purpose, and if we don't carry that out, if we don't share that gift, then we are actually depriving the world, like you said, that manager is depriving people who might work under him from growing to their full potential by not carrying out his gift of managing.
Absolutely.
And then if you don't do that, then you're going to probably be frustrated in your life, and you're going to die with that gift still inside of you. It's kind of like going to a birthday party carrying a gift all wrapped up, but then taking it back with you when you leave and never giving it to the intended recipient. And that's kind of the way I think about our spiritual gifts if we're not sharing them.
Absolutely. I even stop short of if not going to. It's selfish for something to have been
yes.
put in us to be able to do that thing and impact people's lives with the natural gifts that we've been given. And we're afraid to go out and do those things. I know when I started my career pursuit, the first thing I look for is I want to be in IT. And why do I want to be in IT? Because I'm going to make a whole lot of money doing it.
A lot of money.
Well, when I got to 35 years old and I felt like I had arrived, I got to the salary level that I had set for myself. And then at 35 years old, I asked myself, there's something missing in my life. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that it wasn't, at that point, it wasn't about the money. There was something missing. I wasn't truly living what I was called to do. There was just this emptiness. I just showed up to work every day. I did my job. There was no passion in what I was doing. I wasn't on purpose. I just knew that this paycheck facilitated me to be able to do some other fun things in my personal life, but I really wasn't happy doing what I was doing. It wasn't until I actually took a job managing people, which, by the way, I thought I was a bad people person. And I realized that when I got to do that, that I was really living my purpose because I was helping other people get to the things that they wanted and giving them the tools and the knowledge and the experience that I had so that they didn't have to go down the same road that I did to get to their respective careers. And, oh, my God, that was the most fulfilling thing that I ever did.
Wow.
And from that point, I went in search of how can I do this on a larger scale basis, which brought me to coaching. But you can ask yourselves those same questions. How can the things that I have natural gifts and talents in, how can I take those things and take it back to work and apply it at work, even if it's not in your direct job? If it means volunteering or getting involved in mentoring groups that HR organizations have, whatever those natural gifts are that you have, if you can find the purpose and the passion within your work area to figure out how can I take what I have to give and give it at work as well, I guarantee you that when you find ways, if not in your immediate job, to put purpose and passion back into that paycheck, that the days will just fly by and you'll increase your level of happiness and fulfillment because you're exercising your natural gift.
That's great. I have a thought about something that I read that's related to this. Thomas Jefferson, a quote from him says, I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it. Some people seem to, the reason this quote is meaningful to me is I've had people tell me throughout my life how lucky I was to be doing what I want to do or to have accomplished this or that goal, and as if somehow or another it fell out of the sky. And I think that if you get that purpose and passion going, then you're going to be drawn to the things and be able to achieve the things, and it's not a matter of what people want to call luck. What is your thought on that?
I think luck to me really, I can't say that it's had a lot of value for me in my life. I don't know that I even believe in luck. I believe in when I'm doing the things that I'm being called to do and I'm following the path that I'm being led to follow, those blessings and things show up in my life that facilitate me getting to my outcomes. I don't think that's luck. I just think that's having the faith to step out there and say, you know what, this is a little unfamiliar for me. I don't really particularly care about people. I don't care about any of their issues. I don't want to know how their weekend was. and just stepping out there and saying, you know what, let me stop talking about what I want and figure out how I can share my talents and my gifts with somebody else. And when you are following your passion and your purpose, things start manifesting for you in your life that people call luck. That's really you just taking that step of faith to go pursue that thing.
Yeah, I think when people say you're lucky, I think it's their way of trying to explain to themselves why that hasn't happened to them. Because
why they can't have it.
Exactly, because if they can attribute it to something as precarious as luck, then they don't have to take responsibility for finding their passion and finding their purpose and then doing the work to go after whatever their goals are. So it's sort of a cop-out.
It's abdicating that to something or somebody else for you to be able to live the life of your dreams. It takes intently focusing on what are the things that I really want, how best can I exhibit the things that I want and that make me happy, and really making the choice to go after those things and taking responsibility for your own life, your own choices, and doing those things that are going to make you happy. I say the greatest gift that God ever gave us was to give, willpower and choice. If I choose to go pursue the things that I'm most passionate about and that I'm on purpose about, guess what? I'm just as lucky as you.
That's right. That's right. And that willpower and choice are so powerful, and yet so many people They kind of shy away from it and dance around it, too. Well, of course, choice, you're making a choice even when you dance around it.
Absolutely.
But what maybe people need some tips on how to find their passion because, and I'll give you an example. One of my friends, I've had the good fortune to meet author Barbara Scher at a retreat. And she wrote a book called I Could Do Anything If Only I Knew What It Was, How to Discover What You Really Want and How to Get It. And one of the things she advocates that people do to unlock the activities that they enjoy is to think back to their childhood and think about the kinds of things they enjoy doing and look for a common thread among those things to help them figure out what their passion might be.
Absolutely.
What tips could you give us that might help people figure out their passion?
Well, one of the things that I say people don't spend enough time doing, and this is one of the quotes from the leadership development class that I train on, is that we spend more time planning a two-week vacation than we spend planning our entire life. And so my tip to that is really reflection, planning, and questioning. So you have to spend some time with yourself and really reflect on some questions and some things that are going to help you get to your passion. Some of the things that I ask people is what hobbies do you enjoy doing? What specific concerns kind of occupy your mind? And you can just get lost in doing things for hours. What do you most enjoy doing for others? Because our passion and our purpose isn't just about us, it's about others. So begin asking yourself, what are the things that I most enjoy doing for others? And the biggest question that I get the most impact from is when you have reached the end of your life, and you look back on all the things that you did, said, who you affected, how do you want to be remembered?
Okay. All right, I'm writing this down. That's really cool. I ran across an activity once that I think it was to create your epitaph in six words, seven words,
absolutely,
something like that. And that is very interesting to do that exercise because, it'll make you think about how you want to be remembered. I love it that you said about helping others because sometimes our primary goal and our passion is helping other people, even helping other people find their passion, for example, can be the thing that we were sent here to do, just as you do in your work. And when we turn our attention toward others and get caught up and happy and excited about helping them, it does such a world of good for us because, for one thing, we're not able to hold thoughts of negativity and other kinds of thoughts in our mind at the same time that we're helping other people. And so I like that. And this, you're talking about your concerns. One of the things I can remember in graduate school that we were urged to do in picking the topic for our dissertations was to think about a question that you've always had in your head, you know, about your field, and to think of that question as your, you know, you're going to pursue that question as your research, the answer to that question as your research. And there are many questions that people have about, you know, society or politics or their local government or many things that are in our environment that affect us. And sometimes those turn into our passion and our purpose. And I mean, there was a story I did on my blog once about a lady, an older lady, who tripped and fell on some piece of cement that, you know, sidewalk was one piece higher than the other. And when she complained about it to the city, it was a small city, they told her, you know, that they weren't going to do anything about it because not enough people had complained about it.
Right.
And she made it her goal that she thought it was horrible, their approach to it. So she made it her job to find every instance of that sidewalk problem in that whole town and documented it. And she became well known, articles and everything done about her, because she took that up as her challenge and her mission. And it just became, you know, of course she became the go-to person in that city for problems of that nature, because she just took that one concern that bugged her and she turned it into a career eventually. So this is the kind of thing. It can be so little. I think we discount little things.
We do.
It can be something so little that bugs us about whatever we see in our immediate environment. And if we can get a hold of that and start pursuing it, boy, sometimes that can become a real campaign, a real challenge, a real sometimes a job, a company, a business. So I think that we need to look at those even tiny concerns that we have. And I would guess a lot of the entrepreneurial ventures that people do came out of concerns.
Exactly. You never know when you're going to find how or when or what is going to end up being your purpose and the things that you're really passionate about. So if you find that concern that you can just take on and champion, you have no way of knowing that if you have not picked up that concern and championed it and moved it forward, you have no way of knowing what's at the end of that. There could be something waiting for you at the end, just waiting for you to take that on and to pursue that, and that be your passion. So it works in life, in work, in entrepreneurial, but with entrepreneurial folks, it works across the board. You just have to figure out, take the time to figure out in your current work, what are the things, what are some concerns that I have? Could I go champion some of those things? Well, if I don't like the way something is being done, well, maybe that thing is just sitting there waiting on somebody to pick that up, bring it to somebody's attention, and not just lob it over the fence, but say, you know what, I want to take on making this better. And you have no way of knowing where that's going to take you.
I
always tell my clients, and this is one of the key things in combining all of those that purpose, that passion, that paycheck, is you have to plan your career proactively. Oftentimes, we simply react to the opportunities that become available. So somebody calls me for an interview. It's a job. I don't like the place where I am, so I'm going to leave it. We're often running away from things as opposed to what we're running to. So you want to find out what drives you from within. And it's never, you never want to be that person that, you, like I said earlier, you're on the elevator, how am I here? Well, I'm just here. Well, at least it's Friday. It's like we're working to make it to Friday. You should never want to be those people. Who wants to live like that? Life is just too short to moan and groan and write off 8 hours of your life as a payment for a weekend of fun. So if your job makes you miserable, find something else. If you're harboring a career goal, Work your butt off to make it happen. And if you have no idea what truly makes you happy, then take some action to figure it out. You can continue to complain and whine about it, but if you never take any step to really figure out, okay, well, I know I don't like this. Let me figure out what I do like, and let me make a plan to get to what it is that I do like. And it doesn't have to be that 10-year plan. It can be something simple that gets you to figuring out what it is that you're truly passionate about. And this is one of my favorite quotes, and I want to share it with your listeners. I don't know who actually wrote the quote, but it says, "Work is love made visible." Mm-hmm. And if you cannot work with love but only with distaste, it is better that you should leave your work and sit at the gate of the temple and take alms of those who work with joy. For if you bake bread with indifference, you bake a bread, a bitter bread, that feeds but half a man's hunger. And if you grudge the crushing of the grapes, your grudge distills a poison in the wine. All work is empty where there is no love.
Wow. Please email that to me. That is wonderful.
I will.
That is wonderful, because the thing that I think people don't realize is exactly what you said about if you're working with hatred, bitterness, making bread, in the quote, then that bread is not fully developed. It has bitterness in it, and you're passing that on to other people, and the same with the wine. But whatever we do with the half-hearted effort or distaste or hatred, it's not fully developed.
Not at all.
I think that we as recipients of these kinds of things know that something's wrong. We may not know exactly why, but we know something is wrong in the way this person is delivering their service or doing their job. We know that. And it's unfortunate. It does not have to be that way. This brings me to, I know listeners are wondering how they can get in touch with you, Amber, so this is a good time to tell us. Those people who are interested in perhaps your coaching or learning more about what you do, how do they reach you?
Sure. My email address is amber@unlockingyourfullpotential.com. And my website address is www.unlockingyourfullpotential.com.
Wow, unlocking your full potential. That's a mouthful.
It says it all right there.
It says it all. So then listeners can go there, and you offer personal coaching, group coaching. What do you offer in your service?
I do both, actually. I do personal development. I do professional development in groups or individual settings. I also do it for teams. So if you have a team of people and you want to create a better working environment for your teams, I also help companies do that as well. My primary focus at the moment is on individuals and groups, and specifically groups who are aligned on the same things and looking to achieve the same goals and ready to move forward with those things. It first takes the knowing that there's something better. And coaching is really the, okay, now that I know that there's something better out there, it's the key to learning, how can I get there?
This is wonderful. And people can do this on the telephone so that they can do this from all over, wherever they
Absolutely.
Are.
I make it so easy. They can do it on the phone. I also use Skype, so we could do cyber coaching with video and using Skype. So I make it convenient for my clients if phone works, if Skype works, if they want to do it face-to-face and we're close to or in the same city, that's certainly an option for them as well.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful to know. Well, thank you so much. We're at the end of today's show already.
Well, that was fast.
I urge all of you who've been enlightened, encouraged, and empowered by today's episode to be sure to share what you have learned with your family and your colleagues. And remember, the recording is available here on blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. In a little while, within an hour, you can return and hear it again or download it. You may also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you subscribe on iTunes, of course, you'll get it automatically in your account every week. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and invite you to join me again next Monday, September 20th, 2010, at 11 a.m. for another inspiring and exciting show. Thank you again, Amber, so much for joining us.
And, thank you so much.
All of you listeners, thank you, too. I'm your host, Flora Brown of ColorYourLifeHappy.com, and it's the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm going to ask all of you to have a blessed week and tune in again next time for more about how to color your life happy.